sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocritics. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you're going to hear two speeches by 9/11 victims' family members given at the Investigate Building 7 conference on March 26, 2011, at the University of Hartford. First, you'll hear me introducing Manny Badillo, who lost his uncle in the towers, and then you'll hear Jane Palacino, who lost her husband in the towers. Then you'll hear the new 30-second ad produced by the Remember Building 7 campaign. So let's get started.
I've been questioning 9/11 for about 9 years now, and Building 7 is truly the biggest mystery of them all. So today, the Building What campaign is kicking off their second round of TV ads, and you're going to be the first to see it here on the stage. And they're also, I understand, changing their name to Remember Building 7, so just so you know that. So you're going to be part of making history here this morning when they unveil that new video. In my opinion, the most courageous people seeking the truth about Building 7 are the victims' family members, and we have them here speaking this morning, and we're going to start the conference with them sharing their personal stories. And now it's with great pleasure that I'm going to introduce Manny Badillo to you, and then he'll introduce the other family members. I first met Manny briefly in our 2007 conference that was at St. Joseph College, but I really got to know him better when I went to New York City in 2009 to help with the ballot initiative recount when the city threw out a lot of the petition signatures and we had to go verify them. And we all had lunch, and I got to talk with Manny a lot. And he's dedicated to getting that investigation that we so desperately need. Manny's uncle, Thomas Joseph Segroy, was murdered on September 11, 2001. His uncle worked as the vice president of internet technology at Marsh & McLellan with offices in the North Tower. His body was recovered months later. The official cause of death was asphyxiation. As a former Air Force public affairs specialist, Manny won the highest award for enlisted service members on his base. Now Manny is an outspoken advocate for family members, rescue workers, residents, and survivors of the crimes of September 11th. He is outreach director for NYC CAN, and he has helped raise funds for the World Trade Center, rescuers.org, feelgoodfoundation.com, and Architects and Engineers for 9/11truth.org, as well as many individual first responders and rescue workers in need. Manny has appeared on international TV broadcasts, radio shows, and award-winning documentaries, one of which first took place in the London Independent Film Festival. He has interviewed John Schroeder, one of the first firefighters to rush into the towers, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who said she supports all family members' questions being answered, and Janet Napolitano, who agreed it is within the New York City Council's jurisdiction to investigate Building 7's collapse. Manny had the street in Brooklyn where his uncle grew up named Thomas J. Segroy, a 9/11 Memorial Way. At the street renaming ceremony, New York City Council member Simcha Felder signed the historic New York City CAN petition alongside 80,000 other New York City residents. Manny was part of this past anniversary's memorial service for the first time, speaking of his uncle and representing his family, where he concluded by saying, "We know the truth of this unresolved crime saves countless lives." Manny is a native of and lives in New York City. It is with great admiration and respect that I welcome Manny Badillo.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you everyone for being here today. This is truly a historic event, and I'm very humbled to be surrounded by everyone here. I'm more than grateful for the contributions made to the Building What campaign from concerned citizens the world over, especially from the people you will hear from today. The truth of this event does save countless lives. My Uncle Tom was the rock and the light and the man in our family that kept us all together. And when we lost Uncle Tom, things changed. And I always say that I lost three family members from this event because shortly thereafter, my grandparents, who I was caring for, lost their battle to Alzheimer's and cancer. This was their youngest son, my uncle, who really sustained them. So My uncle's murder has far-reaching effects on my family, but also on families throughout the world. These actions are about family, yours, mine, countless others, really the human family. What we're doing is ensuring the safety of our loved ones, friends, neighbors, our communities, by revealing the details of what happened on September 11th, a crime that continues to be investigated daily by researchers, scientists, some journalists, and so many from a vast range of disciplines. We are truly changing perceptions, as well as correcting the public record. Ultimately, we are changing the world for the better. For the record, I was a card-carrying Republican who believed the government's story for years. I was also in the Air Force Public Affairs. I won the highest award at the base, primarily for editing the base newspaper at the last place I was stationed at. This is a reason why I really didn't grasp what really happened on September 11th for so long. I've worked with different groups over the years. We Are Change, different We Are Change groups, different 9/11 truth groups, and I'm still so humbled by what so many people are doing who weren't as directly affected as myself and some other family members you'll hear today. Just this past anniversary, we set up a third beam of light to represent WTC7, blocks north of the World Trade Center site. It had a profound effect on those who witnessed such a simple yet inspiring action. This event here today will do the same. Working with the local government in New York City, we continue to reach out to council members and ask for hearings about Building 7. And we need to reach out to the citizens of New York City and raise awareness about this part of the unsolved crime. We are succeeding. And the reason is because of the tireless efforts, not only of the tireless efforts, but more importantly, from the support of everyone who has donated to this cause. I want to thank everyone who has donated, and I want to ask everyone to continue to donate what you can so we can continue to get the word out and get vital information to the public. I want to mention, we can talk all we want about fires or explosives, or we could speculate or theorize, though the basic fact of free fall explains it all. Governments lie, people lie, the laws of physics do not. And we're getting this empirical evidence into people's homes, where it should have been for the past 10 years. We are allowing for people to learn about this event in their own living room, as well as to play a role in the comprehensive investigation we all deserve. Since the failure of the corporate-controlled media to properly cover the subject, we must be the press. RememberBuilding7.org. At Ground Zero, which I am often at on Saturday mornings, handing out free information to people, citizens as well as tourists, it's amazing how Europeans and people from outside the country know so much more about the events. I ask, why do we know more about the Jersey Shore than we know about the third tower to fall on September 11th, WTC7, or even the tower that has already been built in its footprint, completed in 2006. And I point to the new Building 7, and conversation begins. This information we reveal today allows for lives to be saved and allows us to heal. I have great hope we can reach so many people who can critically think, logically reason, and take action when approached with the vital information about my uncle's murder. To this day, there has yet to be a proper trial for any family member. Though on June 13th of this year, the Davis family, one of close to 100 families who have attempted to bring litigation to the federal courts, will have their day in court. Unfortunately, the Davis family's trial will be heard in the courtroom of Alvin Hellerstein, who has been instrumental in blocking justice for years now. At a recent hearing, he stated he wants summations as well as a narrative for this timed trial, stating shockingly, "I don't think we need witnesses to tell us the history of September 11th. It's not a good idea to go back to the root causes of what the terrorists did, as it's all well laid out in the 9/11 report." The gasps in the courtroom were similar to when Judge Edward Lerner spoke the words, "Building what?" Ellen Mariani, another family member, also continues to fight for her day in court. She is under gag order. Can you imagine a family member put under gag order close to 10 years after her husband's death? We can change this, and we will. We will continue to reach out to the New York City Council and the Manhattan District Attorney for hearings concerning WTC7 that we all deserve. When meeting with New York City Councilwoman Carmen Arroyo, she said it's going to be tough to approach the New York City Council with this information because of the implications, especially insurance fraud. She's telling us what issues even the legislature has to deal with. New York City Councilman Dan Halloran also says there's a lot of questions about Building 7, though to get back to him as well when we find more support in the council. That's very telling. People need to feel comfortable to speak about this objectively. We've met with a quarter of the New York City Council and continue to meet with them. This is an event which changed my family and the rest of the world. We own an infinite ability to break through the ongoing psychological operation that is being used against free-thinking people and make a difference. We are doing that today. When true-to-life heroes of mine, such as Donna Marshall Connor and Patty Casaza, both whom I met for the first time here in Connecticut 3.5 years ago, and Lori Van Auken, who was even part of the NIST question and answer session, asking, did NIST interview Larry Silverstein to find out why he said there was such a loss of life we decided to pull it? To which Chaim Sunder replied, no, we did not interview Larry Silverstein. We are a technical scientific investigation, so we place that importance on scientific facts. Yeah, right. When family member Bill Doyle says publicly, it's documented proof that Tower 7 was not hit by a plane, yet it goes up in flames, and then the owner of the place ordered it to be pulled, and all of a sudden it exploded straight down. He adds, it looks like there was a conspiracy behind 9/11 if you really look at the facts. A lot of families feel the same way. When family member Michelle Little says, we must hold those involved accountable for this atrocious tragedy. My brother David and 10 brothers from his unit were murdered on 9/11. For them and for all our mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles that died that day, it is imperative for their lives that we know the truth. I do what I do for people such as people I consider heroes. Mike McCormick, Charlie Giles, John Cetera, John Schroeder, Craig Bartmer, Joey Maraska, all first responders, all are sick, and the countless others who are sick because of our government lies. Even Shelton Langford, who's in charge of the military officers for 9/11 Truth, has his support, stating at a press conference this past anniversary on the steps of City Hall, I support the Building What campaign that identifies Building 7 as a vital piece of evidence that flatly contradicts the propagandist papering over of facts attempted by the 9/11 Commission report and NIST. He also continues, if the truth will indeed set us free, then it is essential that we demand the truth. And that's what we're doing today. And we can't forget the tireless efforts of Ted Walter, someone who inspires me to act along with a lot of the people you'll be hearing today. These are all names we should know. People need to feel safe speaking about the events of September 11th, though some still are not. The social stigma is huge. The trauma is still induced. And the horrors of September 11th continue to be lived every day by survivors, rescue workers, family members, and people throughout the world. We are murdering innocent, mostly Muslim families still to this day, and demonizing them in our media. For what? RememberBuilding7.org. I ask everyone to read. Read, read. Anything and everything you possibly can. I've heard that only a very small percentage of people in our country read. And if it wasn't for me reading so many books and so many sources of information, I don't think I would have been able to arrive at the conclusions I have today. So I just want to ask everybody to just read anything and everything you possibly can. It's vitally important. Be friends with readers. Spend time with them. You can learn so much. I do this for my uncle, for my family, to ensure his life is honored with dignity, and in that process, I have been humbled by the love we are all sharing by going through this time together. RememberBuilding7.org. I thank you all for attending this event. The next speaker I am going to introduce is a wonderful, beautiful lady that I met when we were verifying the signatures for the NYC Can petition drive. Actually, I met Jane before that. I met Jane Palacino at a hearing for the Guantanamo, the people that are being held in Guantanamo. And for, it was a family member hearing that family members can go to and they could ask questions and receive information about specifically Khalid Mohammed and four others that are looking to be prosecuted either in a military court or in a federal court. And I met Jane at this event where family members were receiving information from a range of lawyers from the military as well as CIA that was there. And I was asking some pretty provocative questions, such as, what evidence do we have on Osama bin Laden? They actually gave us a list of 168 points that they want to prosecute Khalid Sheikh Mohammed on. And there's nothing in there. There's no substantial evidence at all. I asked a number of other questions that got the lawyers from the military a little upset. But after that meeting finished, I spoke with Jane very quickly, and she said, you know, that's some good questions you were asking. And then I happened to meet Jane when she volunteered for the NYC Can recount. I see a lot of other volunteers in the audience today, too. And so Jane Palacino lost her husband, Steve, on September 11, 2001. Steve Palacino was born in Brooklyn, grew up in Hicksville, New York. After earning a BS degree from LIU at CW Post, he started his own business, eventually joining Cantor Fitzgerald and spending 15 years in the world of finance. Making the most of every minute, Steve enjoyed family, friends, and his greatest pleasure, his children. His kind, non-judgmental attitude made a positive difference in the lives of those who knew him. Steve managed to escape from the 104th floor during the 1993 World Trade Center attack, but there was no way out of the North Tower on September 11, 2001. He was 48, leaving his two children and his wife, Jane. Jane is currently volunteering at the Tribute Center in Lower Manhattan as a way of helping to process the event that is still, after all these years, impossible to believe. Everyone, Jane Palacino.
Okay, I have to let you know that when Ted said to me it would be good to be here, they're showing the commercial, and just to have the families here would make a difference. And so here I am. I also have to let you know that almost 9 years ago, the first therapist that I spoke to at the Cantor Crisis Center said to me, be ready for surprises. So here I am. Every day is a surprise. Ten years ago, I never would have expected that I'd come up and, you know, talk like this to anybody, or just somebody would have said to me, this is what you're going to be doing. You know, no way. But 10 years ago, I wouldn't have expected this kind of, I'm going to say, betrayal. I don't know if I would have said that 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, when it all happened, I didn't want to lose confidence in my government. I don't know if I really want to do that now. But when I come here, the first commercial they wanted me to do, too, and I was just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what the focus is going to be. If they're going to come off saying conspiracy theory and all that, I can't do that. As a 9/11 family member, we've gotten a lot of labels as a group, some of them not too nice. So I just don't want, you know, talk about nut jobs. So you're just cautious about what you're going to sign on to. So I go to as many meetings as I can over these years. My focus has been my children. At the time, my daughter was 12, my son was 19. So they were grown up. And they were grown up to be on the computer, and I didn't know what they were hearing and listening to. And you just get by. You get by it in those days with blinders on. You tend to what's necessary, and you're thankful to women like the Jersey girls. I mean, Cheryl talked about the 9/11 Commission. That wasn't supposed to happen. President Bush didn't want an investigation at all. I mean, how dare he? If my husband was hit by a bus on the corner of Liberty, there would have been an investigation. Almost 3,000 people involved, and it just, no, we don't need an investigation. I mean, what's with that? So now you have this investigation, and it's all slanted, but people think, okay, we have all this information in a book. We can take 9/11 and put it away in the closet, which I would love to do. Personally, I would love to do. Unfortunately, I feel like as a family member, you just can't. You're faced with this all the time. And now when I see all of you professionals getting on board. I mean, I can't go over to my neighbor and say, oh, the building couldn't have collapsed this way. I don't have the knowledge to back up that sentence. But you guys do, and I feel much more comfortable knowing that you're behind all of us. So that's why I can be here today. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. So I know there's probably lots of better things you could be doing on a Saturday. But, I mean, we were all robbed of our innocence. I wanted to pretend like we were safe by our government. I wanted to do that for the rest of my life. I want that for my children and my grandchildren. But I don't know if that's going to happen. It's kind of scary. But every day, every morning, I'm on the computer, and you just see something new. But so far, I've just taken it piece by piece. I tried to go to all those Misawi meetings. Meantime, a lot of the information is going over my head. And then, you know, other family members would say to me, well, what'd you learn? It's like, I don't know what I learned. It's just, you know, it's just so hard to process. So I just want to be here to give a personal face to the effort today. And it's 9/11 happened to all of us. We're all victims. We all witnessed it at some point, whether it was a still picture or what we saw on TV. We witnessed it. So we're all victims. And, you know, it's up to all of us to really want the truth. Whether accountability is the goal, I don't know. I think everybody needs their eyes open. And the rest of the world wants it more than some Americans, and that's baffling to me. You know, I just have enough energy to get me through these years. I've been managing, and it's been okay. I was personally affected, and I manage. It's like I have a disease, a 9/11 affliction. I'm not going to die from it, but it hurts every day. And these kind of things are just putting more salt in the wounds when you hear this. And honestly, I don't want to believe it. The first Christmas time at my home, of course, I wasn't putting Christmas lights up. I put in my windows. This is why I think my neighbors must, you know, I have to like tippy-toe around my neighbors. They're watching what I'm buying, and, you know, the whole victims comp thing is another, you know, ball of wax, which, I mean, let's ask the government, why did they come up with all of these solutions for us? They wanted us to keep quiet. And now the people who didn't accept that fund, that whittled down to one person who's going to go to court. I remember when the 150-some-odd people didn't sign on, I was so thankful. Okay, I didn't have the strength and energy to do this. I was not in a position to turn down money that the government was offering to me. And at the time, oh, thank God we have this. Thank God, and it's fast. And it's Cantor was involved in the 93 attack. And when Howard Lutnick told us, this is your only answer, that we're still litigating over what happened in 93. I mean, I had a family to support, a house to maintain. So I did what I had to do. But these families I was grateful for. The Jersey girls I was grateful for. I couldn't at that time give my voice. I mean, now I'm in a different spot. And it's funny because 10 years ago I would say, oh, 10 years from now, I'll be doing this, I'll be doing that. It'll be better in 10 years. And it really is just that you're managing to get through it. And you can't go around it because that would be ignoring it. Manny mentioned the illnesses. I mean, just to give you a number, there have been at least 900. There's probably more than the last time I went to my computer. 900 people that worked on the pile. Volunteers, rescue and recovery, steel workers, you know, anybody that was in that construction able to move that pile of debris that were there weeks and weeks. 900 of those guys have passed away already. And it's taken 10 years to get a bill passed by Congress to give them some kind of... They couldn't work anymore, so they're without health insurance. It's not done. It keeps happening. So how can I not just come up here and show my face? It's a small thing based on the work that everybody else is doing. I mean, we were all affected by this. I mean, hopefully you can, you know, make it change my life personally. So hopefully your lives are changed. And the fact that you're here means that it has. So I'm glad for that, and I couldn't be more grateful. Thank you.
If you want to see the video of Manny Badillo and Jane Palacino and other speakers at our March 26th conference, you can go to the website ct911truth.org. Damon Bean, who was very involved in putting on the conference, manages that website, which has lots of excellent video, articles, and other great resources on 9/11. And now here's the new 30-second ad created by the Remember Building 7 campaign that will be airing all over New York City. If you want to donate to the campaign, you can go to their website, rememberbuilding7.org. Manny Badillo and Jane Palacino are both in this ad.
I lost my husband,
my son,
my uncle,
my nephew, September 11th, 2001.
Most people don't know a third tower fell that day.
The government says fire brought it down.
The collapse of World Trade Center 7 was primarily due to fires.
I, along with 1,400 other architects and engineers,
have found the government's conclusion to be physically impossible.
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 We need the truth about what happened that day.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org.
Why it fell, why it matters, and what you can do.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.